Welcome, 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 Wahoo fans, to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. Special guest this week. Damn, was that Petty? Petty, you got a cold? What?
You right? I won't loud enough?
Nah, bro, you sound like your little head of frog. Oh, there we go. All right. Petty Hawk is officially in the building with us now. For sure, for sure. Special guest this week. Former Cavalier standout running back Sugar Shane Simpson is in the building. What's good, fam?
What's up?
You, man. Hey, thank you for coming through, man. And blessing our listeners, man. You know, we want to chop it up and talk a little bit about what's been going on with you, man. And, you know, make it do what it do.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me on the show.
No doubt.
Just in case people don't know what his name is, he wear it around his neck, okay?
So hey, when you I had upgrade since the last time we met.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Yeah. Upgrade.
I had to upgrade it.
Yeah, I saw you cleaning it the other Instagram store. I saw you letting us know too.
Yeah, I had to clean the day.
Okay, Hawk, you gonna tell them what it is? Because it ain't like they can see it.
Hey man, it's a chandelier around his neck and sugar. Suga, okay? We don't spell it correctly. We put our own twist. It's sugar.
No doubt.
Tell us where that's from, fam.
I've always eat Sour Patches right before games, like even when I was little, like Pop Warner days. And then like even when I got to college, it stuck with me like throughout my childhood, all the way to college. Even my boy, Darius Victor, I would always walk around with it. And then he'd be like, Sugar, get out the jar today. And then that's how it all started.
I love it. Well, fam, let's take it back to high school, man. You know, Eastern High School, Coach Shifford. Talk a little about your time there, man.
Yeah, I was at Eastern High School 2011 to 2015. Real good part of my life. Real powerhouse high school for nobody that knows it. Eastern Pennsylvania, Eastern High School, number 2 in the country in all-time wins and number 6 all-time in the country. So everybody, now you know about Eastern, but my time there, I actually started as a receiver my freshman year. So I started as a freshman playing against grown men. I was 14, everybody else 18, 17. So just getting my feet wet under there at receiver and then transitioned back to running back, which was my normal position growing up. So I played running back, receiver, kick return, punt return, did the whole thing. Broke every record in the high school. I still hold them to this day. So I can't say anything bad about Easton.
Bruh, you know, so I'm one of those dudes that like sometimes I jump down in the stats and, you know, I look and say, wow, that's a whole lot of daggone touchdowns. That's a whole lot of daggone yards. Man, look, let's just talk about this. It's your senior year real quick. I just want to just talk about 2,100 yards and 41 touchdowns and then scoring 7 touchdowns in one game. What in the hell, bruh?
Yeah, I was in a different mindset after my junior year. I actually went around, I set up a team meeting myself with all the guys, all the seniors that's coming back and the underclassmen. I was like, look, this offseason, we'll be going in the weight room 5:30 in the morning right before school start, and we're going to get it in because we ain't achieved our goals from junior year, so we're going to get them this year for sure. And we did that Monday, Wednesday, Friday throughout the whole spring semester. And it carried over to summer workouts, even though I wasn't there physically because I was doing college visits or college workouts and stuff like that. Then I would come back, obviously, once I had the time to and get right back into it. So, like, nobody missed a beat, even if I wasn't there. Then, obviously, the season started. I was just – and the crazy thing is nobody really knows. I put up all those numbers with only – I didn't play a full game till the – 5th game of the season.
Jeez.
Wow.
And you just talked about college. When did you receive like your first interest from a college?
After my first game against Pennsbury in 2011, the first school to ever hit me up was Wisconsin.
Mm. How was that? And getting that first, was it like a questionnaire? Was it like a media guide or just a quick letter?
Quick letter. Then the next week it turned into like, we really like you. Come take a visit over to Wisconsin. Come to camp, if anything, or definitely just get out there for a visit for sure. So I'm like, oh yeah, Wisconsin really like me. About how, like, I ain't really with this cold stuff. But but I was like, obviously the rich history about Wisconsin, they running back. So I was like, I had to love it. So I took my visit out there, probably my junior year, I think it was. And I was like, yeah, it was cold. I lie to you not, Huck. I went out there for the Penn State game. That's when Christian Hackenberg was there, Allen Robinson. Yeah. Just a good, real good game. It was November. It's like 20 degrees, windy. I had some long johns on, two tights, sweatpants, butters or Tim's, what we call it where I'm from.
Yep.
I had a long sleeve, a turtleneck, sweatshirt, varsity jacket, and a hat, and I was still cold.
So needless to say, that's when you had no more interest in Wisconsin after that's wearing
the thing. I went up there, I was like, I love it here. After being cold like that, I was like, yeah, I think this place is for me. And then the coaching staff left, so I lost the interest from that. So I guess it was like God signed, like, you ain't going here.
Was that
Brett Bielema was there at the time. And then their running back coach went to the Ravens right after that season.
Okay. What other schools showed you interest? Or what other schools showed you interest? What other schools offered you? And what were your top two or three?
I had a lot of ACC schools, SEC, Big Ten. And then ultimately, my offers came from like CAA conferences. I had the old CAA. I had Akron, Old Dominion. I had Arizona State wait like 4 days before signing day. And that was it. And then it was like, I missed a lot of like official visit letters from schools like Florida State, Mississippi State, Florida. Just because my coach was kind of like hiding them in his office.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, I'm like, look, after almost 4,900 yards, almost 4,800 yards rushing in high school, almost 1,600 receiving yards and 85 touchdowns, why did you not have more offers? That was my next question coming. So speak to coach hiding the damn left.
Yeah, me and him went got into it like a little bit my junior year, just because I don't know what the problem was, but we were just butting heads the whole season, and I was just coming back from I broke my ankle my sophomore year, the end of the season, and so I was coming back for the next season, and doing my thing, and I'm starting to get like the lingering injury from it. So my ankle was really bothering me. And then it was like this one game is specifically where he was like, if I didn't practice or so, I wasn't going to play or something like that. I forgot what it entailed, but just got off on the wrong foot right there from the start of the season through it all, really. Then we got in a big argument. And then I went in his office after lift for one. For some reason, I was like, something told me to go in there, and I had a lot of you not. It was like a whole like stack, probably like this big of like official letters, like coaches like Florida State, Florida, Duke, Mississippi State, whole bunch of ACC schools, Penn State, Pitt. Just to name a few. And then I'm just like, and I showed my dad. And then we had a meeting with him, and then long story short, I was thinking about transferring. To either like St. Joe's Prep or like Parkland with my boys. But ultimately we decided I was never like a big guy to just uproot where I was from just because some adversity was happening around. So I thugged it out there. And then obviously I know stories like Khalil Mack was under recruited. So I was just thinking that was like my journey for me, even though I'm putting up all these numbers, but just wasn't getting the recognition that I was supposed to get. But that just made me work a lot harder. So me going from my junior year to senior year, that's where I saw the biggest transition, where I was like, oh yeah, I can really do this at a high level. And like I made a promise to my parents when I was 7 years old at the dinner table, like out of nowhere, we weren't even talking about football, just I'm gonna play professionally one day. And then I just kept eating. They just like started looking around because it was just out of nowhere, but it was just all my heart that I had to say it. And thankfully I made it. I'm still playing professional. I'm still on the journey, but I played professionally, but I'm still on that journey to stick around.
That's dope. That's dope. So what made you decide to go to Towson?
Just the love and like the family atmosphere they were giving me. They were real genuine, like up front. They didn't hold anything from me. They would come to my high school a lot. Like literally the whole coaching staff would, even Coach Ambrose, who is still here. He came to my high school a bunch of times just to meet with me. They would come to games. I'll obviously come down here for like some games too. It was just all love. And then like from the player aspect of it, just felt like a family. So I know this was going to be my home away from home. Like I didn't know too much about Towson when they were first hitting me up. So I did my research and stuff. And I knew it was like a hot spot for running backs at the time, because I had Terrence West, who had rookie of the year. And then he obviously got drafted to Cleveland. Darius Victor was next up. So he was that's my big bro right there. Then I came in behind him. So I was like, I can definitely add to that. And they both got rookie of the year as well. So I just wanted to add to that running back legacy, which I ended up doing when I got rookie of the year myself.
Mm-hmm. And you battled through a few injuries while you were there as well.
Yes, definitely. Well, it all started really in high school, sophomore year. Broke my right. I fractured my tibia, misplaced my tibia in my right ankle. Had two surgeries on my shoulders in 15. And 2019, I tore my ACL, my MCL, my right knee.
Woo. Yeah, bro. I've been there with that ACL thing. That's a long rehab and a lonely rehab.
Yeah, no doubt. But I know that the ankle, I would say that all the time, the ankle when I was 15 was by far the worst pain I ever experienced.
Wow. Yeah, it was a break.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, man. Like at 15 years old, like how was that rehab and just trying to get back healthy? And then how long did it take you to start trusting your body again? Because that at that age, you know, we immature, so we just don't know what's going to happen going down the road.
Definitely. Good question. Shoot, that was like my real first injury, really. So me going through that, it happened. I knew it happened right away because my ankle felt like glass when I got tackled. And they told me obviously it was broken and stuff. I was missing playoffs and stuff. So obviously crying because I'm hurt and then crying because of the pain. Then get the surgery. And obviously you can't sleep with your leg flat. You had to have it elevated. Whew. When I tell you that first night from the when I tell you that first night on that bed, I was struggling because I was never really slept on my back like that. And then two, I was finally got to go to sleep. And then my foot like kind of twitched in the middle of my sleep and I woke up screaming like in pain. So like my parents ran over to the room and like, what's wrong? Like my foot was twitching. And then I was in so much pain. Like they just laid on the floor right next to me. And it just happened for that whole week. I was just in so much pain. I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this. But then they said it was gonna be a six month recovery. But I think I beat that time. I was, even at that age, at 15, I always wanted to beat anything that was scheduled, like regular. So I didn't want to be like a regular person when it came to on the football field. I didn't want to be a regular person when it came to treatment as well. So I was ready in like 4.5, 5 months, but I didn't feel like myself probably to like 10, really. But that was it was definitely a struggle, like mentally, just because I wasn't able to even when I was first started to walk again, I would like my dad, I felt like a little kid because my dad was like, come on and walk. But I didn't really trust it like that. And I didn't have the strength. So like, I would just try to put my foot down and then I'll get so frustrated and like start crying because I'm just like, why? Like, that's when like the why me started. Why me? But I knew over time, once I got more mature, that being a child of God, like why me is just kind of selfish. You just set, like God sets you up with certain situations like this to, because you know you can handle it. So at that age, I figured out that my journey was going to be a whole lot different.
Yeah, understandable, man. You know, just sometimes that's that adversity I talk about, that we all have overcome some shit to get where we are today. You know what I'm saying? That's the consummate underdog in each and every one of us. So, you know, I feel all of that, bro, for sure. So you missed most of your first year at Towson with injuries. Then when you came back in 2016, how did it feel when you got back?
Oh, I was back.
for real.
I was right behind Vito. So me and him were sharing carries at the start of the year, but I was starting kickoff returner. My first game back, we play USF down in South Florida. I break the kickoff return record. I had 235 yards off kickoff returns in that game.
Wow.
And then Vito gets hurt the fourth game of the season, so that's where I start being the bell cow. That fourth game, I ran for over 100 right there. And then it just kept spiraling. So I would just be, I think I led in 2016, I led the nation in kickoff return yardage. And then I was second in the nation, like combined kickoff return and punt return yards as well. And then I was the only freshman on the AP All-American list. And I was blessed enough to get Rookie of the Year, ECAC Rookie of the Year, first team kick returner as a freshman, only freshman on there in the conference, and several All-American awards as well. So just me coming off injury, I strive through the adversity, and obviously I had to go through some more adversity after that year, missing some games in 17, then doubling back in 18.
So your grind was for real at Towson, bro. But you know, but it's the crazy part is like you battled a number of different injuries, but when you came back, man, you came back like Return of the Jedi each time because you were just putting up numbers. I mean, you know, when I look at your career all-purpose yards at Towson, even battling all those injuries, I mean, you're over 5,000 yard career yards in all-purpose. So, I mean, damn. I mean, bro, you know, to earn All-American honors, to battle through those injuries, to have over 5,000 career yards, bro, that's, I mean, that you are a warrior, bro, for sure. I got to give you mad props, bro, because, I mean, it's one of those things you could have just said, you know what, it just ain't meant to be, but you kept grinding, man. You kept grinding, and I gravitate towards people who go through shit and come out on the other side better for it, because it's so damn easy to quit, man. And I respect people for sure who keep the grind steady and just battle, man. So kudos to you, bro.
I appreciate that.
And I'm going to ask you a quick question, man. When did you know that you could be special as a kick returner? Like, I know you played running back, you played some receiver, but when did it click for you that you was like, you know what, I could be nice at this? Because a lot of people can't return kicks. They could be good runners, but they can't do that because it takes just that no fear, having the ultimate vision. Speak to just being a top flight kick returner, if you could.
Yeah, great question. Even going back to high school, that's even crazy that I was a really good kick returner in college, just for the fact that in high school, I didn't even like kick return like that. I did it just because I was good at it. But I would love the punt return, like just the danger of like getting somebody coming at you full speed and then you gotta make a miss. Like I enjoyed that. But in college, I learned that it's Division I football. Like everybody can, it's real twitchy. Even like the long snappers got a little wiggle. So if you don't got any blockers really in at punt return, it's curtains. Mm-hmm. So like 2016 was really, I really started to love kickoff return just so I can see stuff develop just for me being a running back and receiver. And I think it was really in like spring ball practice really where I was like, yeah, I can really be good at this. Then I was my first game back from injury. I broke the school record with 235 yards against South Florida. So I was like, yeah, I can do this.
200 yards and kick return yards?
Yeah just kick return.
What was you taking it to the opposing 30 every time or something? Good God.
Yeah, I was past the 50 like twice, and every other one was usually around like 30 or 40.
Dang. That's getting it, bro.
Funny story when we talk about UVA, because I got a story about that.
Oh yeah, we're on our way there. But I'm still trying to get over this 2,000 yards in kick returns in your Towson career, bro. I mean, that's a lot of real estate, fam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot. And I got to ask you, Petty Hawk got to ask you, you letting the kicker tackle you?
Oh, never.
Okay.
Never.
All right. I just had to make sure we clear.
Yeah. We can pull off film from Towson and Virginia. Just make sure.
No doubt. Yeah, you heard what that man said, Hulk. You heard what he said.
Don't lie.
He said it with his chest, but I'm looking at the medallion. I'm looking at the sugar medallion. I ain't looking.
So after having a very successful career at Towson, you were awarded a sixth year there because of the injuries. You got your degree in 2019 in sports management. What made you decide that you wanted to leave?
That's when COVID actually happened. So I was like, I'm just coming back from a major knee surgery. They said it was going to take a year and a half to recover. Thank God allowed me to recover faster. I came back in 8.5 months. And then I was just ready to play football. So then once our season got canceled over here, like it was just like a weight just dropped even more on my shoulders. I'm like, damn, like I really want to play. I ain't come back for no reason. I know we have a team, and I'm just like, I was like in the middle of everything. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm about to do about playing football this year. And then I was like, I gotta play football. So changed my mindset. Talked to my family. I was like, I want to transfer to play this year because I want to show the guy, like the front office and the NFL, like I'm back. I'm still the guy that was able to get. I was on the Senior Bowl twice, top 250 seniors in the country. I ain't come back to school for no reason. So like, I think I want to go transfer and play Power Five ball. Like I should have been out of high school, but this was my journey. So ultimately, I talked to. They said go do it then. So they agreed with me. Then I was talking to my head coach. Coach Ambrose over here, and he's like my second father, really. So I appreciate everything he's done for me, even to this day. Talking to him, he agreed. He felt for me. Obviously, he didn't want to let me leave, but he knew I had it was for the best. So after I talked to him, got everything started, and entered the transfer portal. And they didn't ever tell me how quickly you get interest in the transfer portal, and. Especially when I went in, like I went in end of July. So I think I was in at 2:30 on a Thursday, I think it was. And I got my first offer at 2:33.
And what?
Yeah, it was crazy. And like my phone just blew up soon as 2:30 hit. I had a whole bunch of teams following me, schools following me on Twitter. Or just hitting me up or texting me. I'm like, how you get my number for one? How you so quick? How's this database so quick that you get?
Yeah, I was gonna ask that, bro. Like when you enter your name, do you have to fill out information so they can reach you, or like, cause I think is this the first time we really asked somebody about the transfer portal?
Yeah, yeah.
So break that down. I know a lot of fans want to know how to, cause the transfer portal works quickly now. And you just said 3 minutes later, you was getting hit up. So what's the process of entering your name in a transfer portal, if you could?
Yeah, so how I went about it, since I have, so like obviously some players don't talk to the head coach when they're about to transfer or anything like that, but I'm respectful. I went to go talk to my head coach that did a lot for me. So went to talk to him, and we agreed, and then he was like, talk to Tony, who was a compliance guy over here. And I sent him an email, I called him. I was like, I'm entering the transfer portal. I just talked to Ambrose, everything's good. If there's any way we can get this like expedited so I can go to camp early and not miss any time, I greatly appreciate it. Then once I sent the email, he's like, yeah, you got, you're good. You should be in it for like, it usually takes like 24 to 48 hours for your name to get in there. And then, but thankfully I was able, he got in like 24 hours. So like the next day I was in it. So he was like, around 2:30, you're going to be in, then just be prepared. I'm like, be prepared, prepared for what? And then, just got bombarded with a whole bunch of messages, DMs on Twitter and stuff like that from different teams. And I don't know how they got my number. I don't know how they knew my Twitter or how I got in the database so fast, or like where they should reach at. That's why I don't even have a clear cut answer for that. But all I know is if you're in the transfer portal, it's free game. They just going at you.
Yeah, that's wild right there. It's really the wild, wild west when your name appears. It's like, yeah. Oh, go get them.
Definitely.
Well, you know, but it ain't like that for everybody. I mean, when you got over 5,000 all-purpose yards, it's like that for somebody like yourself, sir.
Yeah. No, and I was actually a little hesitant at the time just because I just came off major knee surgery. So, like, do teams really want to bet on that chance of me coming there and not being the same guy, or they betting on me like to be that guy and even be better than what I was before? Mm-hmm. So I just bet on myself in that the instance and went in the portal. And then thank God I did. And I had an offer, like I said, 3 minutes later, then probably another one at 2:45, 3 o'clock. They just started rolling in.
Wow. Who was the first one?
Western Kentucky was my first. Second was Tarleton in Texas, a FCS school. But they literally said, we're just going to offer you, just to offer you. We know you're going to go to FBS. I was like, I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all reaching out and stuff like that. Because most schools just be like, man, he was gonna go to this school and stuff like that. But I gave everybody the same chance.
Right. What was the first FBS school?
First FBS was Western Kentucky. They played in the Sun. Was it Sun Belt? I think. Or Ace? No. I don't know. I think it might be Sun Belt. Oh no, okay. The AAC, and then Tarleton. Then the obviously UVA came third. UVA came third. Texas fourth. Pitt, Northwestern, Penn State, Mississippi State, Florida State. Had a bunch of the ACC schools, Big Ten. Really out west, if I'm not mistaken. But I wanted to make a commitment quick because I was right at the end of July. Camp started August 1st or 2nd. So I was going to be late regardless. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure I made the right decision, but as fast as possible too, because I knew I was on the timetable. Especially with COVID, I knew I had to, coming out of state, I was going to have to quarantine as well. So ultimately it came down to Virginia and Texas. And I was so hell bent on both because both great institutions, academically and football, got a rich history for both. So I'm like, I can't go wrong with either. And then Texas sending me, I had meetings with the whole staff at Virginia, whole staff at Texas. And then everybody knows Coach Drayton, who's the head coach at Temple. Now he was the running back coach at Texas at the time, and he's like the running back guru coach. And I'm just like, dang, I can go there. get taught by him, who coached Zeke and stuff. So I'm like, he knows what it takes to be like a really good back. And then just something about Virginia really just pulled me in. And I actually said this on the show when I first committed, I was like, I didn't know who to really pick or choose. So I wrote down Texas 3 times on a piece of paper, and I wrote Virginia down 3 times on a piece of paper. And then I was like, whichever one I pick 3 times, that's the school I'm going to. And that's how I knew, like, God's real. Like, I picked Virginia 3 times in a row.
Wow. Dang.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's just God telling me, like, you're going down to Charlottesville. And I was like, all right, let's go. We got to go. About to be who?
Wow.
Who on the staff was your point of contact at UVA?
What's that to why?
Oh, that's why he spit a freestyle for you. You
was he didn't even tell me he could rap like that or sing at that.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. He go hard. He go hard.
He didn't even use no used car salesman type vibes.
He really didn't. We was talking about football. We was talking about God. And then I was like, oh yeah, I need a coach that's like that. And then once I committed, then he started singing. I'm like, you could have started off with this.
Right. You could have led with that, huh?
Yeah, I know, huh? That's dope, man. Shout out to Coach Atua, man. He a genuine dude, bro.
Yeah, that's my guy there. Yeah. I like that dude. I really like that dude.
Miss that dude.
So when you got there, did you feel like you fit in immediately, man? Once you kind of met the guys and you know, kind of embraced the culture, you know, earn not given?
Yeah, definitely. I actually love that saying, love what it meant. But also it was such an easy transition just because one of my best friends, Devontae Cross, we from the same area.
Okay.
Back at the crib, and he was a rival in high school. So like, if I would beat him, I'm pulling up right to Parkland. I'm like, yeah, I'll just beat y'all, but we're going to hang out though.
Same. That's so, what's up.
Like, it was all love. So like, me going there with him, like, not a lot of people get to play with some of their best they grew up with. So that was a dope experience. And then once I came in, everybody just showed me love. It was just a big family. So like, just from the family aspect, I came from Towson, Virginia, it was the same. So I was like, yeah, I like this. The only thing that threw me off was the jerseys and stuff. I'm like, this is weird. I never had experience. I'm like, if I wanted a number, if I earned a number, like I wanted 13 when I came here, I got it. But then when they were telling me about to earn your jersey, I'm like, what you mean earning your jersey? And then I surely found out, like, you got to practice, you got to do a practice, comes from academics, your workouts, just the whole nine. So like, it really gives you a different appreciation of like the number that you do choose or that you do get, because you're not just given one. Mm-hmm. Like, you're gonna, so like, that's where the motto comes from, earn not given. So like, I really like that though.
So when you got here, you was pretty much behind in that process though, right? Because does it start when fall camp start, or is summer workouts?
It starts all the way from spring, summer, then camp. And I missed a week of camp because I had to quarantine.
Quarantine, yeah. So you was really behind.
Yeah.
Damn, I would have to debo somebody. I had to roll up whoever had the red.
Yeah, it was Jenna had 13.
Yeah, Jenna was, that's a tough one, right?
That's gonna be a tough one then, yeah.
Yeah. He Canadian strong.
So tell us about that year, man. I mean, what were your thoughts on that year? I mean, after, you know, walk us a little bit through some of your highlights, some of the low times, and just your overall opinion of that season.
Shoot, playing in COVID, I don't recommend for nobody. It was definitely tough.
Yeah.
Just for everything, just getting a con swab up your nose, shoved up your nose at that, 3 times a week, sometimes 4, depending on where we was playing. You couldn't really, I mean, we still had our fun, don't get me wrong, But just having to distance ourselves from everybody and just trying to be so precautious with everything, that hurt a lot. And then just not having a true off season, I would probably say, especially for me in the sense, just coming off major knee surgery and then coming there, that was probably the heaviest I came to camp because I was just lifting. I was a big, I don't know if Hawk ever told you, but I came in no neck, I was like 211, real husky. And stuff like that. So like when I first met Coach Mendenhall and Coach Atawai, and they was like, damn, you big. Yeah, I've just been lifting, getting my knees strong. And then I obviously just dropped the weight that first week because I told him I had like a severe like sweat rate test like that we took at Towson. And that's when we had to take that little temperature pill. Like it wasn't lit, it was probably like this big at night. And then they would check our temperature throughout practice to make sure we didn't overheat. But I'm like, Coach, you, and we had to sit out for 10 minutes or 15 minutes till your temperature went down. So I'm like, and it's the summer. And I don't know if people know about Charlottesville, but it get hot. And
you met.
What's it called? I'll tell Coach, I'm like, I'm gonna overheat every day, but I'm gonna be good. I'm just letting you know that. Then that's when we had the mouth visor. I didn't bang with during camp, had the visor, so you really couldn't breathe. My temperature would get to like 105, 110, even like in warm-ups. So I'm just like, Coach, I can't help it at all.
Right.
That was just like another obstacle to get back to the question, just another adversity to get through because COVID wasn't normal. Playing during that whole season wasn't really normal like that. But I wouldn't change it for the world just because it just made us as a team tighter in a sense. I really can't say too much bad about it, about the season. But like to name a few highlights, I gotta go to the UNC game first.
Of course.
That was really my out party because first three games, it's like I'm getting like picking plays. I'm like, I need a rhythm. But I told from what I was used to, like to backtrack, like I give a story. At Towson, I'll have a hard game Saturday. I'll get the ball 28 times from like kick return, punt return, receiver, running back. Then have practice Monday, a quick practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, off Thursday, and like a speed Friday. And then just repeat. So my body would be killing me first half of the week. Then I do my cryotherapy like the end of the week, and I'll be good to go to game day. Then Virginia, we do the same thing, practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then obviously speed Friday, then game Saturday. I would look so bad in practice. They were like, why did we bring this guy here? That's how bad I looked in practice. I was so sore. I had pulling sensation on my knee from just surgery. So like, I was really, and it wasn't like I was just like, I wasn't taking anything serious. I was just really hurting. Like I would get up at 5 a.m., drive to the facility, go in the hot tub before practice, then put the atomic bomb. You guys know what the atomic bomb is.
Oh, yeah.
I put the hottest tiger bomb basically every day just to get by in practice. And they was like, I had a conversation with Coach Mendenhall and Adewai, and Coach Mendenhall had a thing with being brutally honest. Like, if you can't handle the honesty, don't come in the office and stuff like that. So I came in there, had my pen and paper ready to see what he had to say. And he was like, you look really hurt during beginning of the week. Then obviously end of the week, you look fine, but want to make sure you have a real good week of practice before we let you go loose. So that's all. I was like, all right. So that's all I need to do. Went back to the drawing board that whole week. I was like, I'll show y'all why y'all brought me here. Like, you guys have been getting a little glimpses, but I'm gonna really show you guys why you brought me here. So that was UNC week, obviously hate week. Being a big time rival, they number 11 country at the time, and they got two real good running backs that's on the Senior Bowl list, just like with me. So I'm like, I'm taking this personally at this point. And I end up getting a swing pass, take that thing to the house for 75 yards. I think actually Hawk, you said it in the interview. It was like the third or fourth longest by a running back reception or something like that. And then I ended up being the leading rusher that game and the leading receiver in that game. So that's where I was like, yeah, I'm back now. And then after I scored, Coach Atawai came up yelling to me, and I'm just like, I just remembered like the first 3 weeks of the 3 weeks of it. So like I was cussing. I was like, I effing told you. And then that's all she wrote. And then that's how I really got my confidence back after that game. And then the BC Boston College game. This is why I'm bringing up the kickoff return. Coach Mendenhall stopped practice. No, I ran a kickoff return back. And then he was like, he pulled me aside. He was like, Shane, come here. And I ran over there. He was like, if you don't get to the 25 yard line, we're going to tell you the fair catch. I gave him like a look. I'm like, Coach, and I started laughing. I'm like, Coach, you ain't got to worry about that. And then he was like, you better make sure. I'm like, you'll see. And then first kickoff return, they kick it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Then I busted that open for like 80 yards. And then it was like, yeah, you don't got a fair catch at all. I'm like, I know. I just want.
That's dope. That's dope. You're like, oh, 25 yards. That's too easy. Too easy, drill sergeant.
What you've done with that statement, Shane, that you only realize is that you help folks understand why the following year everybody kept fair catching, because they won't get into the 25.
Exactly.
Because everybody was wondering, like, yo, why they not bringing that now? And look, it's ironic, man, because you follow one of the greatest kick returners in Joe Reed, but you coming from your school, you are regarded the greatest kick returner probably in your school.
Yeah, I'm actually the all-time leader in kickoff return yards and all-purpose yards and top 10 in rushing.
Yeah, so that's why when you came, I remember saying, yo, that's crazy. Joe left, but we got a guy that was Joe at his school that he's transferring from. Mm-hmm. So I was hyped. So I was always wondering, like, yo, when we going to let him eat? Like, when we, you know what I'm saying? We're going to let him get touches. So this led to a tough question for you that they're going to want to know. How is it being a running back in this system?
Mendenhall system when I was there?
Yeah.
Oh, it was tough. It was real tough. Like coming from like my wide receiver background, I liked it a little bit just so I can get backfield and catch like option routes going against linebackers or even safeties. Whoever wanted to work, they was going to get it. But like from a running back standpoint, not really getting the chance to really turn it loose like every week, it was definitely It was definitely a struggle. And I would voice my opinion to Coach Mendenhall, Coach Anai, Coach Atawai, Coach Beck, everybody on the offense, just because I'm like, why aren't we feeding like the running backs? Like I know you didn't bring me here to be a fullback or like stuff like that, but it was definitely a struggle, like more mentally than anything. Just because I was told I was gonna be brought here, run the rock and stuff like that. I wanted to be the next guy, averaging with a whole stable of backs at Virginia. That's really why I came there too. And then I had Tiki Barber's locker at the stadium, so I'm like, yeah, y'all ain't put me in his locker for a reason. So I'm like, just let's rock out. Mm-hmm. So, like I know we'll probably get to like talking about the season right now. I like shout out. I gotta give flowers to Paris Jones.
Oh yeah,
gotta give flowers to him.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, Paris Jones. When I first met him, when I first came there in 2020, we clicked right off the bat. Obviously, everybody knows the story: being a walk on to earning a scholarship to earning a starting role. Now, that's just showing like God's timing. Really, it just wasn't his time. 2021, but now. He's getting his flowers. He's reaping the benefits of all his hard work that was gone unseen, and finally getting an opportunity from a different coach. So, and we still talk to this day. Like, he'll hit me up or I'll hit him up. He'll talk about football or just life in itself. So, like, I got a lot of love for Paris. He's like a little brother to me. I'm just happy that he's really getting an opportunity to show the world that he can play running back as well.
Yeah, I heard he did a defense fits when he was on scout team.
Yeah.
Grant told me this past Saturday. It was like, yo, he used to give us fits. He used to give us true looks when it came to somebody running the zone scheme and just his ability to cut and things like that.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah, could you imagine playing in the scheme now? Because I don't remember the last time the running backs got 32 carries in a game. It hasn't been in the last 6 years for sure.
Oh,
100%. So for the backs to get 32 carries, I mean, and it was, we would always ask ourselves, Shane, you know, why aren't they running the damn backs? You know, mm-hmm. and we, it just didn't make sense that you utilize the quarterback run so much when you had backs. And so I think it was hugely a byproduct of the scheme. You know, yeah. it really wasn't set up for the backs to get the lion's share. It was really designed for the quarterbacks. And so, you know, that's not always a good thing because I feel that you waste good running backs. And also you put your quarterbacks in harm's way, way too much. And you put yourself in a position where you can't control the clock because you refuse to give it to your running backs. You don't rest the defense. And then, you know, in practice, if you don't run block in practice, the defense doesn't get a chance to see what that's like to go against a running game. And, you know, all of that shit matters, man, in the full scale of things. So it used to frustrate us, too. So I can only imagine how frustrating it was for you guys.
Oh, 100%. Couldn't have said that any better.
No doubt, man. Ooh, yeah, that was tough, man. But yeah, it's interesting, man. When I think back to, you know, guys like yourself and Devin Darrington last year, who you know, transferred in from Harvard, man, if you guys could have been in this Tony Elliott system where the focus is really on running the rock. Oh, my God.
And it would make it so much easier on myself, really, just give, because I got a Heisman hopeful with BA.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the best, we have the best receivers in the nation.
Yep.
So, like, it would have made my job a whole lot easier.
Yeah, man. And the line you play with, because this line is still young, we're still seeing them develop, but the line that you had, them dudes could get low and nasty. Like, they were guys that could get out there with too.
100%. We definitely had a line. So, that when me coming in there, I'm like, oh, we got pretty much everybody's a senior for the most part, or junior upperclassmen, really.
Yeah.
And got a great quarterback. We got great receivers. Then add me to the picture with me and Wayne. We should have ran the table.
Because Wayne got his carry, scored on like a 20-yard scamper for Washington State. Like,
mm-hmm.
He's the starter and a captain.
Yeah, I know. Me and him real close too. So, like, me and him always we always talk and we always FaceTiming each other. So, like, it's all love. So, like, my time in Virginia, I loved every bit of it.
That's what's up, man.
That's dope. So talk a little bit after when you left here, after the COVID year, your collegiate career was done. Talk about what happened next.
Yeah, so I ended up entering the draft. Crazy thing, Coach Mendenhall wanted me to come back, and I'm like, I'm getting old, man. I don't know if I could do another spring workouts at that, spring ball, a summer college summer workout. Fall camp in college, I was like, oh, I don't know.
And then, giving camp.
Exactly. And then I was like, nah, I solidified like myself, like just coming back from all the stuff that I dealt with, the numbers that I put up. I was like, I was real confident in myself. So I entered the draft. So I went to test down in New Jersey. Shout out them for sure. When I first got there, I tested bad. I'm talking about
obviously the 40 I knew was going to be slow because we just got out of the season, not as fast, not as strong. Weight's not where it's supposed to be. So ran like a 4.7 laser, somewhere around there. And then broad jump was like 8.11. Vert was like 28. Bench was 17. Shuttle and L was pretty good. But then I was – then my agent at the time, I'm not with him anymore, but he was like – to my he was like, you sure you good? I'm like, chill, I got this. I'm telling you. Just give it time. I just had major knee surgery. You got to remember that too. And I just played the whole season. Then fast forward through that process, I talked to about 26 to 27 teams. And right when we're doing our end of test and that test, I jumped a 34, bench 22, ran a 4.49 laser. L drill, my fastest time was a 6.71. Then the 5.10.5 was like a 4.21. So I was really flying. Then pro day coming up, I'm ready. Tweaked my hamstring in the week before it, but it wasn't nothing crazy. But go to pro day, bench 23 times on the bench. I think I was top 5 in the draft class with that at my position. Jumped to 38. I was top 5 in that. Ran a 4.5. I think my official time was a 4.58. But the fastest time they clocked me at was like 4.51, 4.52. Caught every ball, did everything I was supposed to. So I'm thinking like this is set in stone. I was gonna be good, especially with the numbers that I put up. Ultimately, I went undrafted, which I was okay with because I'm like, all right, I talked to 26 out of the 32 teams, should be good. Then it's real quiet at that time, and I'm thinking like, what the heck is going on? I'm texting my agent like, what's up, like. Why aren't we getting any interest right now? This and the third. I thought you were supposed to be handling this part once the draft goes through. Cause everything's on tape for me. So like I did everything I was supposed to. Like I'm just making sure you're doing your part. Then ultimately Washington calls me probably 2 weeks after about to sign with them. I get COVID. So I missed that opportunity. Yeah, it's crazy. And then that's when Jared Patterson was balling in camp. So, I mean, OTAs and rookie camp. So he was like, it was in the air for me. And then he was like, yeah, you're going to be in the camp. I'm like, as I should. But I'm like, I'm going to keep working and do what I got to do on my end. And camp comes around, nothing. Then I'm just like, I'm getting real irritated at this point. I'm just like, what's happening? Like we had talked to this many teams, they like me, this, down the third. Yeah, I know it's like we're ending COVID basically, but still a little bit there. So ultimately I'm not in camp, not in the season. I work out for some teams, some NFL teams out in Cali in October. They love what I do, just couldn't bring me in just because I didn't have any prior NFL experience and it was still like the COVID rules, so they really couldn't bring any guys in who didn't have NFL experience at that time. So I was like, okay, as long as y'all saw me in person, you guys love what I do, we can see what happens next year. So after that training, then I comes January, talking to some Canadian teams that want to sign me, but my agent at the time just wasn't pushing it through. So I'm just like, you know what, forget this, get another agency. And then I signed with First Round Management in February, right before the USFL pops off. So like when the draft happened for the USFL, I didn't have any representation. So it was going to be like hit or miss for that. But I know like the USFL hit me up, was like, make sure everything is good. Like all your information is good and stuff like that. So I had everything settled, ultimately didn't get signed there. And then I worked out for Winnipeg. Actually, I worked out for BC Lions first. It was a cold day in DC, running a 40 against the wind at that first 40. I'm flying, got a good time. Second one, I pull my hamstring. And then I'm just like, I know I would have got, I called my dad, I'm like, hamstring got me. And I'm just like, I'm real frustrated at this point because I worked all off season at test. Like, I was really in my bag, like, really back to myself. I'm just like, why can't I get a break at this point? Then a week later, I go to Winnipeg. I don't sign with them. I work out with Winnipeg in Dallas, Texas. So I fly out there. I'm not doing no drills besides football drills because my hamstring's still tight. Mm-hmm. And it's noticeably that when I'm doing the drills, I'm making everybody look dumb, catching every ball, not missing any one-on-ones, doing kickoff returns, punt returns, catching everything. But obviously, they can see I'm limping a little bit, but I wasn't about to stop for no reason. Like I came here for a reason. I came here to get signed. And ultimately, thank God, I got signed that day to go to Winnipeg up in the CFL. So like my goal to be play professionally finally hit. Go up to Winnipeg from April to beginning of June. They ain't tell me how cold it was up there. And I packed all the necessary stuff, sweatpants, sweatshirts, long sleeves in April and May, which is crazy. And I probably saw the sun 5 to 7 times in May, maybe. It was like real gray, windy, cold. And then end of camp, it's almost June. Like back in the States, you usually like in the white beater, tank top, shorts, whatever. One practice, it was 28 degrees, snowing. With, it goes by kilometers up there, so I don't know the difference between kilometers and miles per hour. About 25 miles per hour wind, and then snowing on and off during a 4-hour practice. And then it started hailing. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
So it was rough over there, but enjoyed my time playing over there. Then I signed with Montreal after camp. So I went to Montreal. Then obviously everybody knew about the XFL stuff. They personally invited me to go to the DC workout in June, but I was still signed with Montreal all the time. I get released from there in July, come back home, hit the guys at the XFL up, like, yo, I'm back in the States, I'm a free agent. Can I come to Arizona or Texas to do a workout and get in front of the scouts and management so they can see me work out and not just know me by my name? But I wanted to build a relationship with the coaches. They were like, thank you for hitting me up. But the Arizona and Texas is full, but you're in the draft already. So I'm like, oh, okay. Save me a flight. Save me some money. I'm good. But I'm still working out that time. And I hit my coach up at Towson. I want to coach just to stay around the game, stay locked in, and just learn the business side of this side of the sport. Obviously, I've been a player for 20 plus years. I never really got to see what's on the other side of it, how they go about their day-to-day, from the analytics stuff, plugging stuff in, making plays, just doing the whole nine from the coach's standpoint. So I did that for all of camp. And then I thought I was supposed to go back up to Canada this month, but the XFL called me. I talked to them. I was like, they were like, if you go up to the CFL, that you can't do any workouts the next couple of months. And I don't know if you'll be able to get out your contract. So I'm like torn between, cause I want to play football, obviously, but at the same time, I want to be back in America so I can play in the XFL, then ultimately get back to the NFL. So now I'm in the standpoint where I got a workout in 12 days, a private workout with DC Defenders down in DC. So I have that. Then I have to go out to California next month to work out for all the teams in XFL. So it's been nothing but a journey, but I wouldn't change anything about it. I'd be I just moved back to Maryland too. And I just thought about it in the last 6 months. I lived in 4 cities. And then obviously I was up in Canada in 2 cities. So just a whole lot of moving. But this is my journey to get back where I want to be at. So God set this up. So I'm just trusting him.
No doubt. No doubt, bro. And it's gonna happen for you, man. You know, like I said, when they don't believe in you, God did. You know what I'm saying? God so, did. You know, and it'll happen as it's supposed to, man, because everything is in His time. And as long as you continue to give Him the glory in all that you do, man, and just trust it that He gonna order your steps, bro. Just follow where He lead. You know what I mean? He got a plan for you. You know what I'm saying? And so when football is over, you know, after you have a career that the career that you want, you definitely want to be into coaching.
Yeah, I think I even when I was training this offseason with my running back coach in Philly, he was like, "You're gonna be I'll be the oldest guy there, be high school guys and then like college guys as well." Then I would actually put my two cents into whatever he was teaching as well, mm-hmm. Just from a player aspect. And he was like, "You know, you're gonna be a coach one day. You just don't know it yet." And I'm just like, "Shoot, we can see." And then me coming here, I'm just like, I really enjoy it because, like, even some of the guys on this team I played with. So like, it's kind of funny seeing it from this side, and like they being so receptive that I'm here. And like taking the knowledge from me, so like it's really dope seeing. And then once you're teaching the guys the football and stuff, like the more advanced stuff, and they apply it to the field, it's like puts a smile on your face. Like I feel like a big kid again. So like it's really dope. But I also got into the jewelry business out in Vegas. I'm gonna be a private jeweler in the next coming months. So if you ever need anything, just let me know.
Hey. Oh, you a jeweler?
Yeah.
Sugar the jeweler. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good stuff, man. Well, look, we got to link up, man, because I live in Maryland, too. So I'm not. I don't live too far from Towson.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely got to get your number from Hawk or something like that.
For sure, boy. Get together and break bread, man. I'd love to connect with you for sure.
Definitely.
For sure. Well, fam, this has been great, man. Thank you so much for spending time with us, man. And we are wishing you the utmost luck in your journey. I know it's going to be good just because you're a character dude, man, and you know how to grind. And so just keep at it. Keep that underdog going within you. Keep that chip on your shoulder. And, you know, make that shit do what it do.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me, man. And always wahoo wah.
Hey, yo, no, hold up, because I'm sorry I had to get my son from practice, so I had to mute. But look, I want the fans to know this is my guy, Sugar Shane, man. Great dude. And where he's at right now is other wahoos that's in the building. So he got to see the real goofy side of them fellas. That's Armando Curry and Tyree Foreman. So he in the building with other wahoos. So he, you know. That's my guy, Sugar, man. For real, the Sugar Man.
Hawk, make sure you link us, man, via text, man, so I can get his number, man. I definitely want to link up with the brother.
I got you, Sugar. Sugar say, "Hey, man, I'm available. When can I come on the pod?" I say, "Well, shoot, you own the pod. I just got to tell them."
Yeah, just say when, fam. Yeah, just say when. Come back at any time, man. And, Brian, when you get a chance, man, you know, keep us in the loop on things that's going on with you, brother. If we can help you in any way, come back to the university when you can, because, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to meet the new coaching staff yet, but if you haven't, the head man wants the alumni back. It's important to him. So, I understand the assignment. So I'm gathering all the old heads and be like, "Yo, you ain't an old head yet like me." But, you know, all that have won that blue and orange, man. And, you know, just come back, man. Cause his thing is these guys need to see what legacy looks like. So coming back, being around, you know, imparting wisdom on these dudes, because, you know, I think the onus is always on us to make sure that they understand the importance of the journey, why they're doing it, because sometimes it gets lost. You know what I mean? And, you know, when you came to Virginia, you know, you came as a transfer, but you earned brothers for life, because that's how we rock. You know what I'm saying? And so, like I said, anything we can do, man, to uplift you, got some, you know, you got apparel, you got jewelry that you want us to put out, man, and links that we, bro, we will definitely get it out on the airwaves, on our media outlets and what have you. And just any way we can help, bro, we will.
Nah, I appreciate that. I think me, Coach Kerr, and Coach Foreman, I think we're going to go down there on our bye week. So we'll definitely be down there this season for sure.
Okay. That'll definitely work. Shane, we have something called Shut the Hell Up, I'm Underdog. And what that is something that pisses you off, that gets under your skin, but you like, fuck it, I'm going to overcome it anyway. It could be football related, it could be sports related or not. Holla at
us. Oh, that's a tough one. I guess under my skin?
Yep.
It could be anything in life. It don't got to be sports related.
Definitely when people are or like messy, like anything, like when like trash is everywhere or like clothes, just like being unorganized. I hate it. Like just being in a like clutter. I don't like it at all.
I respect that.
Yo. I hate it.
Messy Marvin's up in the joint.
I'm telling you, that would piss me off real quick.
You're like, fuck it, I'm gonna be all right though.
I'm trying to tell you.
Sounds good. Work. So cool. Well, Wahoos, this has been another edition of the Lockdown featuring T-Cove and the Ball Hawk with standout Sugar Shane Simpson. Until next week, we are out.
Petty Hawk got to get an iced out Petty Hawk chain now, boy. He, you know, duelist, man.
No, I got you.